Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long. While your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Don't forget to check out our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know, we're doing it live. Mac on the mic tonight, and with me, as always, we have Tracksuit Mike and Rob Way Tommy. All right, team, Giants fans, gentlemen, before we get into this, let me unburden you from any guilt for what we're about to talk about. Look, unequivocally, the Giants 2022 season was a success. Not just a success, jeez, but beyond anything you could possibly imagine. The fact that it's January 25th, and this is a week in which Giants football is still relevant this year, is utterly insane. Nothing can undo that. And I'm so utterly happy and hopeful for the next year. That said, mind you, the 2022 campaign has officially come to a close. An embarrassingly bad close. So, boys, take it away. In a vacuum, Saturday night, how are we feeling a few days removed?
It's still a pretty fresh wound. It's still sickening. It's still glaring. It's still just so unpleasant, man. I'm going to say this. It was just a harrowing, harrowing reminder of how far away we really are. Although we're a lot further along than we thought, we're still a little bit of a ways away. I don't know if you listened to the WFAN today. Carl Banks was on Tiki and Tierney, and he said that game was like watching a Camaro in an F1 race.
And for us racing fans, that reference, which one's no good, right? The Camaro is not the good one, right?
Yeah. Listen, yeah, it's like Little League and versus the New York Yankees.
For the listeners, I of course understood the reference, but for the listeners, I thought that might be helpful.
Definitely, it's a great metaphor by Carl Banks. Always full of great metaphors. The tackling was poor. Offense couldn't do anything. Defense couldn't stop anything. That's just a recipe, and you know.
Tommy, it's your birthday week. You're unfortunately did not have, you know, celebrations, and happy birthday, by the way. But no celebrating an Eagles upset. What was the biggest thing for you? I mean, is the Tracksuit Mike just listed off, you know, deservedly so, a bunch of things. What stuck out to you as so embarrassing about Saturday?
It's definitely not what we all wanted to see against Philly. We know that. So after a couple days of calming down and getting over that, the ugliness of the loss, the Eagles, they showed us again that they're the top team in the NFC and they have a real chance to win the Super Bowl this year. More on that later. Hurts, A.J. Brown, Goddard, Gainwell, and of course, giant killer Boston Scott. A thank you, Boston Scott, to score a touchdown.
Yo, that is some Nick Sirianni duplicitous, you know, bullshit.
Oh, yeah, he's probably back on the game too.
But Richie James dropping that ball doesn't get me the over. They were too much for the Giants defense. The tackling, which you've seen in other games earlier in the year, that we had problems tackling our linebackers against an excellent offense like this, it was going to come into play. Hassan Reddick took Evan Neal to school, and the rest of the Giants up against that defensive line showed you know, that the Eagles, they looked like they did all season.
Five sacks allowed.
They are who we thought they were. No Dennis Greed necessary. They had a pass rush. They have a tough defense, and we saw it. But a 38-7 loss won't be what I remember about the 2022 New York Football Giants and these players. This was a team that was picked by many people, many prognosticators, many Giants fans, to win five, maybe six games. I thought I was being a homer going, the Giants can win six or seven when I looked at the schedule. If things break right, they could have a nice year. But this is a team that we didn't think we had a quarterback in Daniel Jones. That was a huge question mark. We didn't know if our running back, Saquon Barkley, could come back, be healthy, stay on the field, and be a number one running back.
Tommy, yes, out. Yes, your ever plucky optimism. I love you. And we're about to talk about the glory that was this season. But let the cynics have a moment. Let the cynics enjoy just talking about how embarrassing this was. You're right. Everything is right. But Mike, are you not still revolted? Tommy has already flipped the page.
Yeah. Listen, I knew we weren't going to win the Super Bowl this year, but just to go out like that, in front of the whole world, it's still a really tough pill to swallow, man. Even if it is a few days later now, it still sucks.
Proudly strutted my ass into work on Monday with my Giants sweatshirt on.
Wow.
Only people that could say a word to me are the Eagles fans out there. And I do work with some fine individuals from South Jersey that have the poor misfortune of not being the fans of the four-time Super Bowl champion New York Giants, and they root for the Eagles.
And one at a time, you can all suck my dick. City of brotherly love, you bunch of fucking cocks.
Philly trash.
My boss is from Philly, and he's texted me a picture of his dog taking a shit before the game. He goes, get ready to get shit on.
Yikes.
But I was like, give your dog
some privacy, you prick.
By Monday, I had a clear head. You know, the Giants won 9 games and a playoff game. For me, I look, being optimistic, this is like that college team that makes a bowl game that gets an extra month of practice. The Giants got playoff experience. They got 2 more weeks of work with this new coaching staff and now have experience and more on film for these coaches to make a decision, for Joe Shane to make a decision on these players that are going to dictate where we go, you know, the next 5 to 10 years.
There's no doubt about that. But 2 things can be true, right? And I think I might have even said it on air the other week, but I definitely was saying it in the moments leading up to the game, is that nothing could disappoint me on Saturday. I was like, everything that you're saying, right, Tommy, is just, we're here and this is amazing. By all rights, we shouldn't be based on expectations. I for sure thought that 8-8 was, or excuse me, I guess 8-9, still getting used to that, would be the most fantasy world of a ceiling for this team, had you asked me in August. And I didn't actually believe that was possible. So all of that said, though, the one thing I was like, you know, if this game is completely non-competitive and it's incredibly embarrassing for the Giants and it's one of those losses that makes you question some things, that's the only way I'm going to be hurt. And for me, that's what happened. They were undressed. They were unprepared. There were some questionable things, both from Kafka, who's getting second interviews with the Texans and might be leaving, and Daboll, which be far from me.
Yeah, how about that 4th and 8?
Well, what are we doing?
Well, here's the thing. And it's like, and somebody said on Twitter, it's like, well, if you made it, you would have loved him. And it's true. It's like, yo, live by the sword, die by the sword. Going for 2 in fucking Tennessee. You got it. If you didn't get it, it would have sucked dick, you know?
Here's the difference, though. Tell me, was it not 3rd and 3? Was that the down?
And then they got sacked. I mean, something like that.
This is my issue.
And 4th and 3, and then we took a penalty, I want to say, and went for it.
Or is that what it was? I thought we got sacked on 3rd down.
Yeah, it was 4th and 8. At like their 40, 45.
I think we were moving
the ball pretty good at that point, though.
Did Daniel Jones run out of bounds?
No, there was one where he may have ran out of bounds. I don't know. The whole game is just a blur to me, dude. It's just I didn't want to watch. It's torture.
They were fairly aggressive all year, and I think Daboll and Kafka knew they were in a track meet, and that punting here, going down, maybe kicking a field goal.
Our punter is not an all pro by any means either.
Sure, but that argument doesn't hold water. The defense's argument doesn't hold water because, okay, one real quick statement and then a question to you, Tommy. The statement here, my issue is with the 3rd down play. It's 3rd and 3. Great. You want to be aggressive. I'm with it. I wanted them to go for it. run a play. You're telling me on two downs, you cannot pick up 3 yards with Saquon Barkley or some ingenuitive play at the line of scrimmage. Like, I'm just saying, I don't understand the third down call that doesn't have a shorter route or a hot route. You get sacked on third down, you're in fourth and eight. That's my issue, not going for it. The synergy in those plays, terrible, and it's been something that's happened multiple times this year. My question to you, Tommy, though, is you want to tell me, all right, it's been day balls all year, right? Okay. Then why the hell didn't he go for it later in the game when you're down 3 scores? Like, what are we talking about? That was a capitulation. And that was the most disappointing decision that Daboll has made the entire year, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was really, and I felt like after that, there was just no coming back. There was still about 1% of my brain that was like, oh, the Jaguars just did it, and why not us?
Now, at 21-0, I was to the point where there was no coming back. Realistically, I think once it was 14-0 and you saw the way that Philly was moving the ball, that you kind of knew at that point. Not that it's going to be 38-7, but this is going to be one hell of a fight for us to stay in this one and to have a shot to win. So, I mean, I'm fine with them going for it. Obviously, you want to stay consistent, be aggressive throughout the night. It was a tough night.
Had I looked into my crystal ball last week and told you that the Giants' stats will include these numbers, they held A.J. Brown to 3 receptions for 22 yards and no touchdowns, and the leading scrimmage yard player for the Eagles will be Kenneth Gainwell. Would you have been optimistic or pessimistic about our chances?
Pretty optimistic, but unfortunately,
it's outrageous. I mean, how many yards per carry do you think that they average on their 268?
At least 10. I'm saying like 12.
Tommy,
I mean, I would have been optimistic until you told me that Kenneth Gainwell rushed for a career high, 110 plus. Then I would have went,
yeah.
We knew they were going to run the ball, and that was the way. In talking to any Eagles fan that I could have a conversation with, I said, how do you guys possibly lose this game on Saturday night? And they all, the consensus was, if we come out and just throw the ball and don't pound the football, you know, I think they would have been calling for Sirianni's head if they didn't use a game plan that was, you know, heavy on the run.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also the Giants' biggest weakness. But so, Tracksuit Mike, you were close when it comes to Kenneth Gainwell. He had 12 carries for 112 yards for a TD with a 9.3 average. But I literally have in my notes here 268 yards rushing yards, 6 yards per carry, which is ridiculous and terrible for the Giants, regardless. But in quotes here, I have written out, felt like 10 though. So
it really did.
They could do whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted against the Giants defense.
And in the preview pod, you know, I did say, watch out for that Dallas Goedert.
He had some great yards. I mean, just carrying Giants defenders into the end zone. Oh, and first
McKinney
downs.
Slips. I mean, dude, it was just a series of unfortunate events. Lemony Snicket.
Well, you knew we were in trouble when it was like, what, a 30-yard bomb or a 60-yard bomb to Smith within the first 3 plays of the game? Or
yeah.
Something like that. And I mean, okay, two last things, and then let's go on to greener pastures here. I realize the game got out of hand, but only 9 carries for Barkley and only 6 carries for Jones, and I believe those carries came well into the game. You know, not that the Giants had a lot of time of possession. I mean, they were... the Eagles had the ball for 11 plus minutes longer than the Giants, but
yeah, they, trust. I mean, they, I don't know.
What a weird game plan. Like, I don't understand why the Giants didn't,
they were
come
just
out
playing from behind the whole game.
Yeah. I don't think obviously the game plan was to have a minimal amount of touches for Jones. And
but
Barkley.
Even when they did run the ball, it was like, they got nothing every time.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going is just on offense and defense. I think that just getting smacked in the face like that, the game plan tends to go out the window and you try and get any kind of success you can. And I think, like I said, with the game plan, after dropping down 14-0 in an instant, it's, you know,
boys, 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 but that's not true. That is ignoring the history that has been this season, the identity of this team. Look back and time again, we were applauding this coaching staff because the Giants went down, you know, 14-0, 17-0, you know, against the Packers and other teams, right? And they stayed true to their identity. I mean, I understand that it was 21-0 pretty quickly, but for an entire game, Saquon Barkley has 9 carries and Daniel Jones has 6 carries. I don't understand how that's possible. Hell, the Jaguars came back from multiple scores. I know I'm not saying that's the same game, but to give up on your game plan before halftime doesn't I'm sorry, I just disagree. It's concerning for me.
Incredibly
unfortunate, one might say. My other last negative takeaway here. We can talk about Daniel Jones for the rest of the offseason, so I won't go there. And the broadcaster did argue perhaps that they thought Slayton ran the wrong route. But again, not the point.
James Bradbury, is that what you're getting at?
No, not even. Although, you know what, I don't want to waste my breath on Bradbury. I really enjoyed him as a Giant, but he can stop talking and just enjoy his time with the Eagles. Anyways. When it comes time, this is the Giants have what everyone says is, if not the best, then easily a top three duo of defensive tackles, right? That it is elite and that they're both good against the pass and the run. Is it as simple to say as that the Giants linebackers are absolute dog shit? Or can you possibly justify paying both of them elite money if a team like the Eagles, all pros on the offensive line or not, can just run right down the middle for 6 yards every single down? Like, I think it's going to be impossible to justify paying both Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence. That's my point.
Yeah, I mean, Williams did say he was willing to take a pay cut. I'm sure his agent hated that. But
did he really?
Yeah, he said, I want to play with Dexter Lawrence as long as I can. That's what he said.
I mean, well, that changes the calculus.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's
when you look at what they had on the field at linebacker throughout the year, guys that were coming off of practice squads, our practice squad. I'm sure we're going to talk a lot in the offseason about areas of need and how we can get better. Linebacker's a big one. You got to improve there, but I think, you know, one of the biggest moves of, you know, Dave Gettleman was this trade that got killed that brought you Leonard Williams. And what did we give up? Not a whole lot. And, you know, you kept this guy here and he's produced. And now Dexter Lawrence, a draft pick, he's producing. I think you have to figure out a way to pay these guys. Good news is Williams is talking a pay cut. I think that helps out, spread some money around, helps us get better.
Well, I'm talking about linebackers.
I don't think it's on them. I think it's, if we take care of these guys in any way and get past them, there's no one that's going to stop us for 6 or 7 yards.
So. All right. Well, that's good. Then I hope you're right. And cause I enjoy having them both. It wasn't meant to be a negative. It's just, how can these two things coexist and you justify the paying, but hopefully it's more of a linebacker thing, but also shows what the heck I know. The linebacker issues and going up against a smaller, quicker runners. I really thought that Landon Collins and Tony Jefferson were going to play a role in this game. Landon Collins had a goose egg on snaps, and I don't know if Tony Jefferson was in the game, but he's not on the stat sheet. So,
and you look at that stat of, you know, the rush average for every time, you know, Dexter or you know, Leo comes up with a tackle for a loss or a 1 yard stuff.
There's holes wide open and they allow 15 yards. Yeah,
when someone gets behind them and goes for 15 yards, there goes the average. So we can't put it all on those guys.
Yeah, no, that's all fair. All right, boys, I'll leave you with this before we move on. How about them Cowboys? And let's transition to our segment, Four Down Territory, where we look at the four best moments of 2022. Tommy, first down.
There's a lot of places to go. Week 1, big win. We beat Baltimore, but I'm going to London. London's calling. The comeback win over the Packers, come out second half down 10 points and hold the Packers to no points in the second half except for a forced safety on our own to kill some time. You know, you beat a former NFL MVP in Aaron Rodgers. You beat the Packers, who at the time are 3-1. It didn't go the way they wanted in Green Bay, but at the time it was a huge win with a huge stop on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 with Green Bay knocking on the door.
Yeah, I mean, beating Aaron Rodgers is just such a sweet, sweet thing. That cocky, very good quarterback, but dear Lord.
Future New York Jet.
Oh, my God. Following truly in the footsteps of Favre. All right.
Convicted felon.
Yeah. TSM. Second down.
Second down, I got to go with the Sunday Night Football win over the Commanders. The fact that we were flexed into Sunday Night Football was a huge honor. And the fact that we won the game, yes, there was some controversy at the end, but that game. It wasn't called, so it's only cheating if you get caught. It wasn't really cheating, but you know what I'm saying.
True.
Listen, that's what initiated the playoff drive. I mean, once the difference between winning and losing that game for the Giants to make the playoffs was insane. Insane. It was like if they win, it's like 80%. If they lose, it's like 20%. So, yeah, huge. That was a massive win in front of the whole country. And you love to see a Kayvon's strip sack 6. Beautiful work of art hanging in the Lavoir.
Yeah, what did he say? Like, primetime loves me or something like that?
Yeah, there wasn't much to see of him on Saturday night. I don't remember.
But I'll say, God bless the kid. You know, he backed it up.
He was going against Lane Johnson. I mean,
true. Again, played through that injury. Unreal. But, anyways, yes, Commanders, big tie somehow ended up being a huge positive. Huge. All right, Tommy, third down.
The playoff win in Minnesota. The Giants strike back. The only purple rain in Minnesota was the tears of the Vikings fans. Oh. Come back, return to Minnesota, and won the game that mattered, right? They lose on Christmas Eve. We could have locked it up there, celebrated on Christmas and Christmas Eve. But in doing it at home against the Colts, we set up the opportunity to go back. Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Isaiah Hodgins come up huge. Put up some of their biggest numbers of the season, get the win, move on. We know how the story ends, but a great playoff win for the Giants to look back on.
You could argue that that was the best played Giants game of the last decade, or at least the most enjoyable to watch. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I can't. Yeah. Since they won the Super Bowl, I would say so.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Beautiful. And you said, man, it's so loud up there, and they just slayed the dragon. A very small purple dragon that is, you know, a fraud. But
I mean, the Vikings fans are actually happy because we're the reason that their defensive coordinator got fired, and they hated that guy.
And Daniel Jones really made him look like an asshole. So,
they were getting 20 yards a play at one point. It was like crazy.
Beautiful. All right, fourth down. Bring us home.
Oh, I mean, come on, man. That Colts game, 38-10. I mean, when's the last time they even scored 31 points on offense? When's the last time you saw a pick six score from the Giants? I mean, it had everything. It had snow angels. It had all you could ever want from a victory, a lot to a little, a good team against a bad team, and we're usually on the other side of that. And clinching that playoff berth for the first time in 6 years was just – I mean, euphoria, really. We deserve it after a few long fucking years, man.
I'll tell you, you know, if Daniel Jones ends up being the guy and, you know, is the next coming of the Giants, Eli Manning, or anything even half as good as that, I'm going to look back on that day in that stadium for that game with the crowd finally chanting his name and him getting a standing ovation from that crowd as maybe one of the greatest like stadium experiences I've had in my life. Like that was
for what he's been through. I mean, just from the second he's drafted, everybody hates him. he goes out his first start in preseason. No, that preseason, he looked pretty good. That first start against Tampa, he looked great. And then it's been a lot like a, you know, up and downs ever since. A little injury here and there, up and down. And then to that moment where the Giants, A, clinch a winning record, clinch a playoff spot, you know, it is – I could only imagine what he feels. But, you know, after all that, I mean, you know, I don't know where we're going to go with Daniel Jones this year. I hope he is the guy, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know what his agent's thinking, what he's thinking, but –
Well, we're about to find out, Tracksuit Mike, and I think both of you can agree, regardless of how you feel about Daniel Jones, the man hasn't had a lot around him, and the defense just got undressed. So that brings us to a new segment, the biggest needs. What needs has to be on Joe Shane's shopping list this offseason?
We have to get depth on the defensive line. We have Williams, Dexter Lawrence, Jahad Ward, Kayvon Thibodeau. I know he's a linebacker, but he's a pass rusher. After that, they need to add some depth. They need to go out and get probably a second corner. And obviously, we've already talked about what the linebacker position looks like. But, you know, biggest on defense, I think you got to get some depth to help those guys on the defensive line. You look at those great Giant teams of the past. They were rotating linemen in throughout the game to give those big guys a breather. And I think we lack that. We don't have that right now. And, you know, my 1A and 1B here, wide receiver. Bad news for Giants fans. I think Kenny Galladay is going to be a Giant, but not for that much longer. We cut him after June 1st. We only take a $6.8 million cap hit, and we save $14.6 million. So we let him hang around a little while. And then he goes. That money basically flips. If we were to cut him before June 1st, it flips to where we're getting hit for 14, and we're only saving about 6.6. So you hold on to him for a little bit, and then it frees up a bunch of money. But the free agent class is not the best. Darius Slayton is going to be near the top of that class, the free agent wide receivers. So I don't think that's going to be the place we're going to improve when it comes to wide receivers. I think we may have to go the route of the Philadelphia Eagles and improve the wide receiver position via trade. Boomer Esiason mentioning of maybe future Bengal alum like himself and T. Higgins.
How much
like
is that going to cost? How much do you think of T. Higgins? Is he coming up on the end of his rookie deal? Is that the situation? Would it be a sign and trade?
I think it's a case of, you know, a trade and sign. We have, you know, they're going to look to have to pay Joe Burrow a lot of money. So they're going to have to make some difficult choices. Not that that makes him cheap. I think he comes a little cheaper than an AJ Brown, but I think they're going to use that as a basis for any deal that they're making. So.
I mean, yeah. So I asked the question on my Twitter at Dable Arriving.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you know, you gotta plug and play when you can. So I asked, Giants' biggest need heading into the offseason is? I did four choices. Interior offensive line, wide receiver, interior linebacker, or cornerback. Which one do you think was the most popular vote?
I'll tip my hand and say interior offensive line.
That's correct. It was the most with 44%. What's the next?
Ooh, damn. All right, let's go, people. Wide receiver.
Yep, 40%. So that's 84% right there. Only 11% said interior offensive line, which I thought was a little low.
How was the question phrased? Like the most important position or to use the first round draft pick on?
No, I just said biggest need heading into the offseason.
Yeah, it's, man. Yeah, it's because they're, I mean, to put it politely, do you remember not that long ago when we were having a discussion about how there was some genuine optimism about Jerod Davis, a dude wallowing on the Detroit Lions practice squad? That is how bad.
Yeah,
her linebackers.
He didn't even survive on that. And I mean, the Lions defense is bad.
It's bad. That's dog shit.
So, yeah, I mean, we got Darian Beavers coming back. that's going to be a big deal, hopefully. I hope he can regain some speed, whatever it takes.
Again, not to cut you off and keep going.
So but, unproven, but yeah.
The fact that we're excited about a six-round draft pick or a fifth-round draft pick? Rookie who will still be a rookie coming off of an ACL tear, question mark? Achilles tear? I don't recall. One of the two?
Yeah. Honestly, again, we might be in a sweet spot. I don't want to get into draft like crazy right now, but that Simpson kid out of Clemson, he's somebody I got. I don't know if he's going to go earlier, but he's a guy I would consider drafting.
Are you going to do your draft review this year, your draft Bible?
Yeah, I haven't done it since 2020. Reddit knows all about that. I did a 20-page report for the 2020 draft during the pandemic about the Giants draft. Now that the season's over, I guess I'm going to get back into it. I can write the foreword about how the season went and what we're looking at. And, yeah, I think I am going to do it. It's going to take me some time. It always does. I don't even the good thing about this season is that I haven't looked at a single prospect or really a mock draft or anything about the draft until, like, today, which is really, really good because usually I'm looking at that shit in, like, October.
Oh, it again, it just speaks to how amazingly blessed this season has been. Like, it's just amazing that, yeah, exactly, that you're ignorant to that. But also, definitely do that this year. I loved it. Bring it back. Let the Dable arriving fans see your draft guesses here. I always enjoy it myself. But as far as biggest needs, the people have spoken. I'm so happy to hear. Yes, wide receiver is the obvious answer, right? That's a low hanging fruit. For me, it has to be the offensive line. It still continues to be a problem, and especially if the Giants are going to invest big money in both Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, God
forbid. Yeah, what about Andrew Thomas? He's got to get paid next year, too.
Yes, he's been playing. Well, we should have talked about him in the Eagles game at least as a positive, because at least if there's one thing that we didn't worry about, it was the left side. He was his usual all-pro self. He's going to be getting paid $25 million.
Evan Neal, though. It's not been a good season for him. I still hope that he can be a good tackle one day, but man.
And I mean, based on Andrew Thomas.
I know, but at least he was showing signs. At least he was showing signs at this point.
You know, Neal showed signs, I want to say, but it was probably more towards the beginning of the season before the
injury. Pre-injury, yeah.
That kind of derailed him. So we got to hope that, you know, he gets healthy. I'm sure coming back on that you know, sprained knee, you know, for, you know, going against those speedy pass rushers and those power rushers, you know, was tough coming back.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, we're married to Neal. The only thing that Giants fans, if you were listening to this right now, the only thing you can do and just set it and forget it is be optimistic that Neal will improve. And that the worst case scenario is that he is going to move inside to guard eventually and be at least a good guard. That should be our worst case scenario. Because otherwise, we're screwed, right? You're investing for him for at least another 2 years as a first-round high draft pick. So let's just hope he's not our Ereck Flowers. I did see something on Twitter, and someone mentioned, man, Neal looks like Ereck Flowers.
Don't even mention that name.
Dude, but it's real. It's real. So again, but regardless, left tackle.
Where is Ereck Flowers right now? Does he want to come back as a guard?
Dear God, no, I have no idea.
He's a free agent. I guess he sat out all year.
Probably. I mean, what was he with the Dolphins? He was with the Commanders for a bit, or
dude, but he was not bad as a guard.
I know, but which we're not going to, you know, go down this road. But it also speaks to how bad sometimes the Giants coaching staff has been. Like, at least try it, you know.
Yeah,
but
it's whatever. Well, I think they were, you know, they were desperate for Ereck Flowers.
Yeah, I mean, another time, an era long ago, but. Again, I'm tripling down, because you're committed to Evan Neal. Andrew Thomas is a no-brainer. He's amazing. I love you. You carry the world on your shoulders. But we have no loyalty to the cheap contract to Mark Glowinski, the one-year deal.
Well, he's actually carries a lot of dead cap, though, Glowinski, if we cut him.
I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that we need to cut him, but
use him as
total deal. The total deal was only $15 million, so it can't be that much.
But it's going to be a nice chunk. I don't know.
Okay, I'm not saying the solution is cut. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, Feliciano, upgrade. Gates, investing. Even. I mean, are we married to Nick Gates? I like Nick Gates.
I like that case. We're not married to giving him a starter position. No. He should be off this team. So, anywho, all I'm going to say is that I think it's their biggest need for – because there's three positions that need to be replaced. Or
I mean, listen, there's – there. I mean, dude, we went into this fucking – you know, we had Matt Skura on this team last year, bro.
True. They made strides, but not really in the ratings. They were still like 30th in the ratings. Second most.
No, it's time to draft. It is time to draft a center. It is past time to draft a center. You know what? We're going in. I think the third to fifth round, the Giants will get a center.
Did you see Jason Kelce throw Jelly Ellis to the ground with one arm?
I don't even want to talk. I hate. Dude, that Jason – listen, I played center, so I, like, have the utmost respect for Jason Kelce. I really just fucking hate the team he plays for. It sucks, man. It really does because because he's a small guy too. He's not – but he's so strong, dude.
Yeah.
He's so strong. God damn it. And dude, he was, like, a seventh-round pick. It's like, why couldn't we get him, man?
Well, and, you know, maybe if they win, which I'm absolutely not hoping for, but either way, perhaps he'll retire. And with that, we're going to get into huge predictions. And huge predictions is not brought to you by Facilo Automotive, but we are working on it. So if anyone knows their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com. Boys, playoff predictions. Who you got? Who are you betting on?
Ugh, I want the Niners so bad. But, dude, the Eagles are so good. I, you know what? Fuck it. Bengals win it all.
Tommy?
You know, my heart, I'll be rooting for San Francisco to knock the Eagles off and then just sit back and enjoy the Super Bowl stress-free. My prediction is Chiefs, Eagles, and the Andy Reid Bowl. But Mahomes gets number two, 37-28 in the Super Bowl.
Wow, Chiefs. The thing we have in common is AFC teams progressing, but really believe San Francisco's rushing attack. It's the one thing that the Eagles have a dent in their armor. They're going to run it down their throats. Brock Purdy is taking them to the Super Bowl. 49ers over the Eagles. I really – Mahomes is something special. And watching the first part of that most recent game, God, he was amazing. But – that ankle injury is going to bite him. Cincinnati's coming back. I'm with Tracksuit Mike. Joe Burrow lifts the potential first of many Lombardi trophies.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, and here's the thing. I didn't for the Eagles, obviously, but I usually do root for the team that's never won the Super Bowl before. I hope all the fans get to, you know, except, you know, I did not root for the Eagles in this regard. That was the only Super Bowl I was rooting for Tom Brady. Couldn't get it done.
Oh, I know, right? The one time you want him to win. It's, geez, my Lord.
Dude, but yeah, no, every fan should definitely feel what it feels to win a championship, especially in football, because those are the two greatest days of my life, and I will stop at nothing to feel that again. That's why I root for Buffalo. Because my uncle's a Bills fan since the 60s. It's like, I wish it could have been them.
Hey, Tom Coughlin said something similar, right? He just wanted that for his team because he knew what it felt like, and you can carry that for the rest of your life. So I don't think any of us could say it any better than TC. Yeah. So with that, gentlemen. Oh, Tommy, bring us home, baby.
Now, I'm just with you guys, definitely rooting for anyone but the Eagles. But to see a team get their first and those long-suffering Bengals fans, get to root on a championship. I will be rooting for them. I think the Chiefs come out on top, but obviously going to root for anybody but those Eagles. Go 49ers.
Let's go, boys. All right. Let's not bicker over who killed who and end tonight with the fact the league just was not aware. The Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York
football.
Giants.
God, I love that. For Tracksuit Mike and Tommy, I'm Mac. We're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night.